Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Welcome, Weirdos. I'm Darren Marlar, and this is Weird Darkness. Here you'll find stories of the paranormal, supernatural, legends, lore, crime, conspiracy, mysterious, macabre, unsolved, and unexplained. If you're new here, welcome to the show. And if you're already a member of this weirdo family, please take a moment and invite someone else to listen. Recommending Weird Darkness to others helps make it possible for me to keep doing the show. And while you're listening, be sure to check out WeirdDarkness.com, where you can find me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Minds, MeWe, and more. As you can probably already hear, this is not a typical Weird Darkness episode. This is a Fireside Frights episode. I do one of these a month, where I narrate stories sent to me from you, my weirdo family. And in these episodes, I step away from the creepy music and the sound effects, no editing out my mistakes. You'll probably hear cars passing by. It's just you, me, this fire in my backyard, and whatever sounds that God or the city of Loves Park, Illinois wants to send our way. For example, that car that I just heard in the background. I don't know if you heard that, but also the raindrops on this umbrella that I have over my head that are probably a lot louder to me than they are to you. But anyway, it's just a light rain right now, so hopefully it won't be any big deal, but well, we'll just have to see how it goes. So bolt your doors, lock your windows, turn off your lights, and come with me into the weird darkness. This one comes from Joyce Cook. My family went through extreme poltergeist activity back in the 70s when we were living at... That is loud. Hold on. So this is the Harley. Yep. Haven't heard him all day, but as soon as I sit down here to start telling you stories, that's when he decides to pull out the Harley. Okay, anyway, let me start that again. From Joyce Cook. My family went through extreme poltergeist activity back in the 70s when we were living at 1723 Downing Street in Greensboro, North Carolina. Our family was close and affectionate, and was made up of my husband, myself, our son and daughter, and our beloved family dog. The house in question was built in 1965, and we were the first family there, but indeed it was built over what had been a lake, and there were underground springs and creeks all around us with moving water. I mention that as it is my understanding that this commonly reported is commonly reported in poltergeist cases. As for the history of the land, all I know is our neighborhood was once built on a cow pasture. Who was there before then, I do not know. When my husband and I first moved in, my kids were like 5 and 1 years old. And I did have a few odd experiences, like smelling perfume in the house that was odd-smelling that nobody wore. There were also feelings of having something rapidly coming up behind one, and feeling not so much as evil, but high weirdness of something very old and completely non-human. The feeling of feeling one was being watched, that was a common experience. Not far away behind our house was a graveyard, but we dismissed the idea of ghosts as neither my husband or I thought the dead could haunt a location. Not much more happened for several years till my daughter and son grew up. Before the real explosion of poltergeist activity, the woods behind our house and leading to the graveyard was a place my sons and many of the kids enjoyed playing. At the time, it was not seen as odd. None of us thought in any way that a graveyard could be a concern. It was curious that the thick creaks in the wood, in the woods, was known by the older kids as haunted pools. Why the name and when it came, it was unknown. When my daughter was about 16 and my son was about 12, we had the first big amounts of poltergeist activity in our home for several months. It started first with my daughter, who had a conversation one night before going to bed and talking to her dad about the devil and how stupid he was thinking that he could overthrow God in heaven. That night, about 1 a.m., she had objects fly off her walls and a huge gust of wind blowing through the room despite no open windows. She was scared, but not so scared to have a séance with her friends during her 16th birthday. After that, she'd find at times at night having weird experiences, like waking to find her hand being held by a small, withered hand, or hearing a loud bang on the wall. The séance was something that she and her friends did on their own, as a joke. It was not something that was routine or approved of in our home, but soon after this, the weirdness was manifest. Strong gusts of wind would sometimes come from nowhere and blow through the house. Though experiences could happen any time of day, I'd say 90% of the time, the activity happened at night, between midnight and 3 a.m. Well, there you go, Joyce. There's your problem right there. Midnight and 3 a.m., the witching hours. Okay, I'm sorry, I interrupted your own story. I'll continue on. She continues saying, if I were to venture a guess, the entry point or portal was located in a closet space shared by my son's and sister's room, as the doors of the closet would sometimes open on their own during manifestations in our home. It got to the point that my son would tie a belt around his closet door handles before going to bed at night, because it often opened at night. Before the weird activity began. Okay, the doors would open before the weird activity started. All right. Of course, this didn't stop the trouble, but it made him feel better that the closet door remained closed at night. The sound of heavy objects falling and breaking glass occurred in other rooms, but when observed, nothing was to be seen. However, the focus shifted from here very quickly to completely focus on my 12-year-old son. It's hard to describe all the events, from slamming doors, sheets being yanked off beds, shaking beds, flickering lights, and all of us being awakened at night by having a hand shake one awake, or messing with one's feet or bed coverings. Even stranger was the experience my son had after being awakened by a shaking bed. He sat up and flicked on the light, and then felt something invisible, big, and heavy bound into the bed next to him and knocked him over, and then was just as quickly gone. That incident was the one my son reported as most freaking him out. It was that experience. He described it like being on the bed and imagining if a huge, obese, invisible man were to jump into bed with you and then vanish, all happening in about 3 seconds. We were not alone in all of this. The family dog was pretty freaked out when this would happen, and he'd bark and growl at unseen presences, but usually acted very afraid and was eager to be outside the house than inside it. Most of the poltergeist activities, it seemed to happen during my son's REM sleep, when his bed would shake, so we think his unconscious was letting loose. Of course, unconscious letting loose. Okay, I read that right. Perhaps half of the activity was not the 1 a.m. to 3 a.m. variety, but what happened in the middle of the day as well. When the bed shaking occurred, my husband and I would get up and go into his bedroom and see him asleep, with the bed going back and forth. At first, my husband and I took it to be completely demonic, opened up by that silly teenage séance my daughter had engaged in, but the psychological aspects could not be missed as well. My son was hyperactive and on Ritalin. The Ritalin helped him focus like a stimulant, but it had a side effect of stunted growth to the degree, he was behind normal physical growth and development by a full year. We thought perhaps the Ritalin might have been affecting his CNS, but it appeared it was the bed moving him, not the other way around. In short, there was probably something in that house from the time we moved in, but our son was clearly the battery that caused things to go crazy when he became of age. We had a Catholic priest come bless the home. This did work, but it only knocked off the activity for about 10 days before it started up again. The priest was very enlightened and told us that though demons do sometimes wreck homes, what we had was likely a poltergeist, which is basically a demon third class on assignment for a short trial period and can steal energy from anything from a fight in a home or pent-up libido. He advised us all to relax more, laugh more, and pray more, and make the house light. He told us poltergeists are affected by blessing, but unless they are done weekly, they'll keep coming back, so the best solutions lay with our family, as he didn't have time to come back weekly to bless the home. He asked about things that might have invited evil in, and my son ended up getting rid of a big collection of horror comics, which went into the trash. One funny bit of symbolism that I did not catch till months later was the poltergeist at the first part of its manifestation did so while we were eating dinner. We were all around the table and talking and laughing, and my son had a tall glass of milk in front of him in a tall glass, and it suddenly exploded. Nobody was hurt by the glass, but the milk went straight up in a crazy manner all over the ceiling till it rained down on all of us. The symbolism of this pent-up energy is kind of clear. It might be the case that the Ritalin that had stunted his growth might have built up huge levels of energy, as my son told me years later he didn't get his first wet dream till he was 14, which bothered him as all his friends had gotten them by 13. My husband had told him not to worry about it, and nature had its own time for him. Of course, there's a problem with that theory as well. The poltergeist activity largely ended a full year or more before that, so that one explanation is not complete. It's fascinating that strong emotions and libido can provide such huge stores of energy for poltergeists to pull from, and one learns to unplug them from their source. They cannot manifest without a power source to tap. The key to killing the poltergeist was creating a happy, relaxed home. After about 6 months, it was pretty much over with. It was the most amazing and terrifying 6 months of our lives, and an eye-opening awakening to the world of the paranormal. After all the years of thinking of this, I can only conclude we had everything and multiple causes to create a perfect poltergeist environment. Though it was not fun to go through, it was very interesting and, to a degree, deepened all our faith, as we did conclude we were not dealing with poltergeist, but with intelligent beings with a twisted sense of humor. This became clear when the poltergeist in our home seemed to take a great deal of dislike for a blessed crucifix that we kept in the hall and a picture of Jesus. These were often turned upside down or found lying on the floor, knocked off, which suggests this being had a strong dislike for these items. I'm open to various ideas to explain what happened here. Would love to hear from anyone who's had an experience with the poltergeist. I'm sorry that I butchered your story, Joyce. Hopefully we'll get better as the show goes on. This one comes from John. I drive a semi all over the country, mostly earning early morning and into the afternoon. I've seen, or thought I'd seen, some strange things while driving down America's interstates, and especially old, deserted highways. Sometimes I seem to view the woman in white standing along the highway. One time, about 6 months ago, I saw an old truck parked on the side of the road. It was about 3 in the morning, and usually I look back in my side view mirror to make sure it's actually there. That time all I saw was an empty road. I checked my other side mirror. Still nothing. Spooked the hell out of me. Other times I've seen creepy graffiti on abandoned truck stops and gas stations. Some that have said, "Stay out," or "Not for the living." Typically I have heeded the advice, but other times I've just had to take a look. Right now, I've gone on a few nature walks near rest areas, just to get out of the truck and still be 6 feet away from others. Gotta keep that social distancing. I found it calms me after a rough day, or just lets me relax. This one was sent to us anonymously from one of our Weirdo family members. And you do have that option. If you want to send a story but you don't want to attach your name to it, you can just leave your name blank, and that means it's being sent anonymous. And that's perfectly fine if you want to do that. If you want to send a story, you can do that at WeirdDarkness.com. Just click on Tell Your Story. Anyway, this one comes, again, from an anonymous family member. Hi. I have a true story that happened in a duplex I used to live in 2001. There was this house in Yuba City, California, that was split in half and turned into a duplex. My husband and I lived there for 3 years. My neighbor in the duplex was a man in his 60s that was deaf. He communicated with me and my husband through made-up sign language and by writing on a tablet he carried with him. Well, shortly after we moved in one day, I was going to go to the store. My husband was at work, and my cousin was staying with us. I had just come inside from getting stuff out of my car. I asked my cousin if he wanted to go to the store with me. He said yes. When I went to grab my keys that I just had, I couldn't find them. We both started looking everywhere. We could not find them. We just moved in, so things were still in boxes, and there wasn't any everyday clutter in the house. We looked for an hour and still could not find them. My cousin gave up and went to take a nap on the couch. It was driving me nuts since I just had them. I looked for another hour, starting at one end of the house to the other. It wasn't a big duplex. Nothing. I checked the same places over and over again. 2.5 hours went by, and my cousin woke up from his nap and said, "You still haven't found the keys?" I said, "No." He went to the fridge and pulled out a 2-liter of soda and sat it on the kitchen counter. And there was a jingle. We both looked at each other, wide-eyed. He picked up the towel, and there the keys were. I started shaking my head all crazy and yelled, "No! You see me move that towel? You seen me? I moved that towel several times, and the keys were not under there." He'd even moved the towel while looking for the keys. He said maybe when we picked up the towel, we picked up the keys with it. We both knew that was not true. I spent over 2 hours looking for those keys, and I know they were not there. He knew they weren't there, too. That was the first strange thing that happened in the house. Another time, we had went on over an overnight trip that we had two fish that were near... Okay, I'm sorry. I don't pre-read these when I do the Fireside Frights, because I like to react to them... legitimately, but sometimes that means that I don't understand a sentence. Another time, we had went on an overnight trip that we had to fish that were near the kitchen area. I fed them before we left. Oh, okay, I see what you're saying. They were going to go on an overnight trip, but she had two fish, I guess like two pets, fish pets, that were near the kitchen area, so she fed them before they left. Okay. When we got back from our trip, I went to feed the fish, and they were not in the tank. I looked around and couldn't figure it out. Well, I ended up finding them on the kitchen floor about 5 feet away from their fish tanks. How did they jump so far? Why did they jump? Did they jump out of their tank? It was so weird. We checked to see if we had left a window open. Maybe a cat got in. Although nobody owned a cat, another incident happened one cold morning. I smacked back, and then I had a pair of shoes that sat by the... pair of chews. I smacked back. Then I had a pair of chews that sat by the door for when... I'm guessing cats. I don't know. Whatever. Anyway, the duplex was old and always cold. No one was up yet, and I went to put my shoes on that sat near the door. And when I put them on, I was instantly surprised because my shoes were warm and moist on the inside, like if somebody had just taken them off. It was the strangest feeling ever. Every morning, I'd put my shoes on. Okay, I see what she's saying. I'm sorry, I'm going to go back. I smacked back, then I had a pair of shoes that sat by the door for when I went out to smoke. Goodness gracious, Darren. I'm so sorry, folks. See, this is why I really miss digital editing. This is why I edit things before sending them out on a regular episode. Because stuff like this happens all the time. Oh, so some of the flubs that I don't include in the bleeps at the end of an episode. Okay, anyway, okay, so she had a pair of shoes that sits by the door that she puts on when she goes out to smoke. Okay, The duplex was old and always cold. No one was up yet, and when I put to my went to put my shoes on that sat near the door, and when I put them on, I was instantly surprised because my shoes were warm and moist in the inside, like if someone had just taken them off. It was the strangest feeling ever. Every morning, I would put my shoes on. They would always be cold due to them always sitting near the back door. There was only a wall heater in the house, and it was two rooms away. There were always weird, unexplained noises in the house, and my husband had terrifying nightmares the whole 3 years we lived there. The thing that creeped me out the most was one day, me and my neighbor were communicating, and he asked me if I thought the duplex was haunted, which I had never shared any of these feelings or things with him. I thought it was strange that he asked me that, and I answered him by saying, nah, even though I did feel something weird was there. I asked him if he thought it was. He gestured to me with his index finger and thumb to express a little bit, and then he wrote, I think it's a little bit haunted. I asked him why. He writes down because of the noises. I wrote, noises? I said, but you can't hear. He said, I can feel the noises. Well, this freaked me out, and I didn't want to know what he meant. I didn't ask any more. Many other things went on in the duplex, but these are just ones that stood out the most to me. We moved away, and shortly after, we heard our neighbor did too. It was only a few years after we moved out and moved away, the duplex was torn down. I never knew the reason why it was torn down. The owner was a very nice lady. Her and her husband owned the duplex and used to live in it when it was a whole house. He passed away, and it was turned into a duplex, and she rented it out. I often wondered if he had passed away in the house, although I never asked, because I felt it was rude to do so. Okay, moving on to our third story. Maybe this one I won't screw up. I doubt it, but we'll find out. From Joanna Davila, and I might be mispronouncing your name, and I apologize for that, but I think it's Joanna Davila. She says, I'm currently 25, and when I was 6 years old, I saw something that haunts memories to this day. When I was 6 years old, I'd always spend the night at my grandma's house. One night, my grandma and I went to bed, and we slept on our futon. It was the middle of the night when all of a sudden, I felt someone staring at me. I opened my eyes and looked right at my grandma, who was sleeping right next to me. Realizing her eyes were closed, I closed my eyes and tried to go back to sleep. Not a second later, I still had that feeling of being stared at. This time, I looked at the foot of the bed and saw a pale white girl with long blonde hair staring right at me. She looked to be my age, 6 years old, and was just staring at me. I keep staring at her, and she just stares back. No words, no movement, just a blank stare. Her eyes were dark, like just dark black circles. I looked at my grandma and tried to wake her up. I turned back to look at the girl, and the girl was gone. I lay my head down, and suddenly I felt this cold breath, and I turned to my right, and the little girl is standing right next to me, staring at me, breathing on me. I screamed, and my grandma woke up very frightened and confused as to why I was screaming. I never saw that girl again, and I never slept in the dark since then. I'm 25 and live with my boyfriend, and we always have to sleep with the TV on because I just don't ever want to see that girl again. By the way, if you like Weird Darkness, not necessarily today because I keep stumbling over everything, but if you like the podcast in general, you would probably like the audiobooks that I've narrated, and I'm actually trying to narrate as many as I can for free, so you can listen to them absolutely free. In fact, so far I've got a couple of titles from Stephen King, I've got H.P. Lovecraft, Charles Dickens, and more, and you can see, or actually in this case, hear all of those free audiobooks that I've narrated. You can find those on the audiobooks page at WeirdDarkness.com. And the bonus on those, I actually edit out all the mistakes, so you get a decent story without me screwing up. I'm sorry, this is probably a lot funnier to me than it is to you.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office.
More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Strange creatures. Gruesome murders. Oozing organisms. Unfathomable abductions, enigmatic expeditions, an age-old malevolence, and much more. Author J.C. Moore delivers a collection of dark horror tales that are both chilling and poignant. Dark Intrigues Book 1 is filled with horror fiction for fans of short story anthologies, horror collections, ghost fiction, suspense, possession, and more. Dark Intrigues Book 1 by J.C. Moore. Available on Kindle or as an audiobook narrated by Darren Marlar. Find Dark Intrigues Book 1 on the audiobooks page at WeirdDarkness.com. That's WeirdDarkness.com/audiobooks. All right, anyway, let's move on. This one comes from Weirdo family member Terry Evans. Back in 2011, I lost my best friend, my father. He passed away unexpectedly. So unexpectedly that he was taking my niece on spring vacation to Florida with my grandpa and stepmom, and he got so sick within a week of being there, he had to go to the hospital. They narrowed it down to kidney stones. They did surgery and broke them down. He passed away on the table. They were unable to revive him. It says able, but I think she means unable to revive him. That Sunday, my stepmom and niece went to see him in the hospital. No, I take it back. I guess they did revive him. Okay, I'm sorry. That Sunday, my stepmom and niece went to see him in the hospital, and he was fine at 10 a.m. He was supposed to get out, and he wanted to come back to Indiana to see us. But the good Lord had other plans for my father. At 12 p.m. Sunday, my niece and stepmom went back to the hospital to visit him. They wouldn't let him in the room that he'd passed away from a heart attack. Later that day, my uncle called my sister and had to tell her. I drove to her house with my brother and best friend. I was crying because I thought it had something to do with my grandpa. When we arrived, as soon as I stepped out of my car, she told me. My keys dropped to the ground, and I immediately ran to the sidewalk. Mind you, it was sunny out and there were not any rain clouds in sight. And I sat there and was yelling and screaming for my father and crying hysterically. I was a daddy's girl. And I was stubborn to admit it as I got older. But it was true, and it will always be true. My best friend came and sat next to me, comforting me, and a random car of guys stopped and heard me yelling and crying. They asked if I was okay. She said, "Yes, she's fine, just having a bad day." They drove off. All of a sudden, during my tantrum of sadness, it started pouring down raining. I didn't want to move. I just wanted to sit there and cry. We eventually went back home. When we arrived, I immediately went to the master bedroom where my dad slept. I cried and cried. I got up to leave, and there was a half can of Coke on the vanity. Backstory to the can of Coke thing, every time I got in trouble or every time he wanted to apologize, he'd either give me a full can or half can of Coke. It was his way of a truce, I think. So when I see a can of Coke on the vanity, I pick it up and said, "You can't apologize for this, Dad. You didn't know." I took a sip for old time's sake, but it was flat. So it had been sitting there for about 5 days. I left the room, and that was it, so I thought. I just want to throw in here, I was baptized in November of 2010, and the thing that gets me to this day was that the preacher said, as he pulled me up from the water, "Just because you're baptized doesn't mean things will get easier, for it will only get worse." I didn't know what he meant to the degree of how worse, but I lost my dad, so it was screaming in my mind. The first night I was going to bed, I was sleeping pretty well. I had a dream I was watching my niece. She was downstairs in the family room, and I was in the kitchen, eyeing her from the balcony. She comes twirling out to the downstairs bedroom, and she has a sucker in her hand. I asked her where she got that, because the only people who give her candy is either my dad or grandpa. She said, "Poopa." Yes, Poopa, that's what she always called my dad. As soon as she said that, I started walking down the steps, and all of a sudden, a ball of light came and shot up the stairs, meeting me halfway. And it turned into arms, and they wrapped around me, and I heard my dad's voice whispering, "I'm okay." I told him I loved him. He said he loved me too. And I woke up. Reality, when I woke up, it felt so real that he was there hugging me. But I knew he was just letting me know he's safe and okay. And here comes the worst part. The devil knows when you're trying to get right with God, and he will do anything to distract you or scare you. And let me tell you, he had a ball with me. That house became dark. I mean, when I was little, there was things here and there that he'd point out to each other's red eyes in the closet, rocking chair moving on its own. But I knew something was watching me, lurking around corners. It just didn't bother me until now. The second night of going to bed, I left the door opened a bit. My best friend shared the same bed as me, so I didn't feel scared. But then again, I didn't think I would see what I saw. I couldn't sleep much, but in the darkness, I saw a shadow figure, and each night, there would be another outside my door until there was three. They came closer, and they would taunt me and wrap me so tight in my blanket, saying their little nothings. "We don't have to let you go," and other scary things. I remember I couldn't breathe, and I couldn't sleep. I didn't know what was happening. It never happened before. By getting closer to God, the devil was sending his minions to torture me. That's how I felt, and that's the way I see it. Well, one night, they were doing it again, wrapping me so tight in my blanket where I couldn't breathe, and laughing at me and saying, "We aren't going to let go. We don't have to let go." I said, "Yes, you do." And they muttered back, "No, we don't." And I said, "In God's name, you have to let go." And they disappeared. Forward to a couple months later, I met this guy. It was David, Jeremy, my brother, Mark, and I, just sitting in the family room watching TV. My brother was upstairs in the kitchen. David was in front of me, and Mark was on the couch. Mind you, we are nowhere near the TV at the moment. My dad has a high school diploma in one of the cubby holes on the TV stand. We were watching TV, and all of a sudden, the diploma comes flying out of the cubbyhole, landing right in the middle of the floor. We all looked at each other with mouths wide open and asking each other, "Did you do that?" Of course, we all knew we didn't, because you literally would have to be, you'd have to be seen in front of the TV, and nobody had gotten up. A couple months later, we moved. My cousin stayed there with her daughter and husband and his two daughters. One day, we were all over my aunt's house, and so was my cousin. She said, "You didn't tell me the house was haunted." I said, "What do you mean?" She told me her daughter would come to her at night because she couldn't sleep. An old lady and a man would pinch her toes and keep her awake. Also, she told me that she was alone one day, and she's OCD, so everything in the laundry room was straightened up and in place. The door was closed. She was watching TV in the family room. All of a sudden, she heard what sounded like somebody breaking in a window in the laundry room. She opened up the door, and everything was on the ground and messed up. It only validated the haunting for me. I ran into a guy a few years later. We were working together, and I was telling him everything that happened between the torturous shadow people to the haunted house. And that time I didn't know what to believe. I was on the fence about God, and I knew I couldn't stay there. I eventually had to make a choice. And he said, "With all the darkness you've seen, how are you on the fence?" That's always stuck with me. This all does. Now I am trying to get right with God, more than I ever was. I know now that when the shadow people came to torture me, I will not be scared like I was, for God has made me stronger. I apologize for all the traffic. It's a Friday night, and it's rush hour, and even though we're in a suburb and on a side street, they've apparently figured out that our street is a nice little thoroughfare. It didn't used to be, but somehow people have found it, and now they like to use it all the time. And of course, I'm right off the street. Of course. Well, even in the backyard, you still hear the traffic. At least it's loud to me. I don't know if it's loud to you, but it's definitely loud to me. This one comes from Kelly Maida. I had a friend that I lost touch with, mainly because in the past, he did not always have good intentions toward me. It's been years since I've seen him. All of a sudden, I started to have dreams of him, at least four in a few months. I saw other signs and synchronicities of him as well. This last dream that I had felt like a warning. He did not seem to be doing good. Well, I reached out, and he seemed different, as if he had changed, and he commented on how we had a lot in common. We had plans to meet a few days after talking. The night before we were going to meet, I had a dream that he was in some kind of dark magic and someone was trying to warn me. I had this bad feeling in the pit of my stomach. Something felt off. I asked God and the Holy Spirit to team for a sign, and all of a sudden, on my phone, a psychic reading from YouTube pulled up. It literally described this person exactly. It mentioned that the man was involved with dark magic, and when he said dark magic, Aleister Crowley popped into my head. He was known as the most wicked man alive, and he was into dark magic. This psychic warned me that this man has very bad intentions against me and was plotting against me with possible help from a woman and was setting me up. He said God would intervene and the attempts would be stopped. I didn't even know what to think, but all of this felt very real. Sure enough, later that night, he canceled our plans. Just like the psychic said, his attempts would be stopped. I had to know, though. I wanted more information, and sure enough, when I reached out to him, he said that he felt blocked, as if something stopped him from seeing me. That is all the confirmation that I needed. Later that night, I had chest pains that I never felt in my life before. It happened several times. It felt like a psychic attack. So I cut ties with this person, as well as called on my spirit team to help me remove any cords or attachments from this person. I guess it's true what they say. It's never really a stranger that has it out for you. It's usually an insider. I just was having a hard time trying to figure out why he would want to hurt me. I never did anything to him. As I kept asking myself this question, all of a sudden a video popped up that said why this person hurt you and what their karma is for it. This was a different reader than last time. She said this was fated union, but karmic. This was supposed to be a healing situation, but this man was not in a good place. He was lower and negative energies around him. She affirmed all of his dark intentions toward me and confirmed how it was stopped. She even said how I broke the bond that we were in by walking away. His karma is that he would get everything back that he has done to me tenfold. She went into explicit detail. It was not pretty. I'm just glad that God watches over me as well as my spirit team. Actually, in one reading, a psychic said that my spirit team was gangster and not putting up with any more attempts from others trying to harm me. I believe it. They're not playing around. I love that. My spirit team was gangster. Yeah. I've never heard the term spirit team. Obviously, I know. You know, I've mentioned it several times. I know about God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit. I believe in the Trinity. Never heard of the spirit team thing. No, that's pretty cool. This one comes from Diamond Sands, which is not a real name. They decided to use a fake name. Greetings, everyone. I'd like to say before I start this story that I've changed the names of every person as to protect not only myself, but my friends as well. It was my second year at summer camp. Let's call it Camp Gemstone. During this time, I was around 15 years old. I randomly woke up at 3:35 in the morning. I only know this because I fell asleep with my watch around my wrist. One of my friends slept on the bottom bunk in the middle of the room earlier that night, so when I turned around to look around the room to see what woke me up, I saw my friend, let's call her Ruby, slowly getting up and starting to walk to the bathroom. I originally thought she was being slow as to not wake anyone up, but I very quickly realized it wasn't her. I remember she put her hair into two twin braids before going to bed that night. Which, in result, my mind started reeling, that's not Ruby, over and over again, since her hair wasn't in braids. You know that saying, frozen in fear? Well, I have never felt it until that moment, when she started to change into a tall, hunched-back woman, her hair covering her face and reaching the floor like the girl from the Ring movie, the arms just grazing the floor with sharp talons like claws. Laying there, I kept wanting to grab my flashlight to scare the thing away, but something in the back of my mind said no. Staring at it made me realize it was conversing with something in the bathroom that I couldn't see or hear. I also must mention the bathroom was pitch black, even though there were two windows and the moon was full that night. It took a lot of willpower to force myself to turn around and cover my head with my sleeping bag to fall asleep. The next thing I knew, it was morning, the sunlight streaming in through the window. I turned to face during my experience and... I turned to face during my experience, jumping out of my bed. I went over to my friend Sapphire, who's had a lot more experiences with this than me. I told her what happened, and she told me to stop talking about it and give me a list of what to do next time I see the woman after she drew it out from the description I gave her. Thankfully, I never saw her again, and never got more information of it, except if I bothered it, it would have killed me by making it look like I inhaled too much smoke from a fire. A few months after my vision, I found out some counselors used a Ouija board in the cabin that I slept in. This one comes from Terry Wellis, also goes by the name Reverend T. This dates back some years ago when we had to move to Orange, Texas, and we had a house in Logansport, Louisiana, as well as my dad got a phone call that the house in Logansport had been broken into, and so they went up there to check out what had been messed up, or stolen or destroyed, so when they arrived, they started going through things and seeing what all was missing and cleaning things up. While cleaning things out of my sister's room, they found an old Ouija board that was given to her when she was a younger girl. She was in her mid-20s when this happened. It was given to her by a step-aunt. They gave it to her for 1 year for her birthday. So my family, being a very religious family, my dad decides that he is going to get rid of it. And he'd always heard that if you threw it away, they'd always return back to the owner. So he decided that he would burn it as he went up to my grandmother's, his mother's house, to find the stuff to burn it with. He commenced to lay it on the ground and tried to light it with a match, and the match went out. He then went into the garage and found some charcoal lighter fluid. He proceeded to pour it onto the box and tried to light it. Needless to say, it wasn't lighting. He used almost a whole bottle and a box of matches, but it didn't work. So my dad, being a believer in prayer, he began to pray, asking God for help and guidance. He walked back into the garage and found some lawnmower gas and took the lid off the box and laid the board on top of the crossways and filled the bottom of the box with gas and a bit on the board as well. And then he began to pray and struck a match and held it onto the board He began to pray and struck a match and held it to the board. Gas usually ignites from the fumes, but he still had to hold it to the board. As he prayed, the board began to burn in the center, not on the edge where the match was. So he and my sister backed away as the board was burning, and without warning, the fire exploded straight up into the air 15 to 20 feet with a loud scream coming from inside the board. Louder and louder it screams, and the fire goes into the ground with a rumble. And then smoke as black as night, blacker than our outer space void. It began to scream and moan and moved toward my dad every direction he went. The smoke came at him. He even put the wind at his back, and the darkness followed him with one final scream. It was gone. The board and box were just gone as well. Maybe a small bit of ashes and an indentation in the ground where the board was. Well, they came home to Orange, Texas, and we went to church the next day. Everything's good, so we thought. When we got home, we got out and walked to the house, and none of the keys would work on any of the four doors that we had that we could enter into our house. My dad thought of the one door that led to the kitchen that was not in the best of shape. He could just bust in and replace it later. So my dad proceeded to push on the door to gain access. And when you push on things, they tend to fall away from you. But as he pushed on the door, the window shattered out onto him like something was thrown out of it. We go inside and my dad feels like something is on his leg, like running down his leg. So he sits in the recliner and removes his slacks that he wore to church, and blood was pouring out of a wound on his leg that he never felt any pain from. It had bled so much, though, you could pour the blood from his shoe like you were pouring a drink. He had no snag in his slacks, no blood on any glass, no meat from the wound. By the way, it was 2 to 3 inches long, 1 inch wide, and at least an inch deep. That is not just a cut. So we bandaged him and tried to make the best of the rest of the day. Little did we know, it was the beginning of a lifetime of hell on Earth. The Demon House is what we called it. It had no way of moving because we had rented this place. We had no way of moving, that is, because we'd rented this place from my step-grandfather because my dad's job relocated him where they needed him. So we lived with it, for best I can remember, another 5 or so years, till we were older and out of school. My dad will not talk about it to this day. He's in his 80s. When I ask or even mention the incident, he begins to pray and walks away. My sister's the same way. I've learned to deal with a lot of spirits, shadows, dreams, even demons. I'm 46 as I write this to share with you. Funny how I can see these events play in my mind over and over, but I can barely remember my own birthday sometimes. I'm a preacher now, have been for about 5 years. Still have things happen that I talk to my dad about, and more to share, if it interests you at all, from dreams of being crucified by demons to my house burning down just last year, things that happened in that house before that day. It feels like I'm reliving each moment as I type them on my phone. So I'll type up another episode or maybe tell all that happened, but that'll be a long, long book. I'm so glad I found your show. I listen as often as I can, can't get enough of it. Even if you don't put this on your show, thanks for reading and letting me know what you think. I live these things day by day. I have scars on the outside, wounds on the inside. God heals all things, but he knows that I can come over because Christ overcame... God heals all things, but he knows that I can overcome because Christ overcame the world. Maybe I should write a book on my own paranormal life. Anyway, let me know, please, if you or the listener want to hear more. God bless you, my brother, and keep up the good work. Well, of course we want to hear more, Rev, so feel free to send those in. We always want to hear more stories. And now that we're doing Fireside Frights, then I'm actually going to be using more stories from Weirdo family members. At least that's the idea. That's the goal. So before I continue on... this lawn chair is not comfortable. Before I go on... if you're looking for Weird Darkness merchandise like t-shirts, hoodies, coffee mugs, stickers, magnets, wall art, throw pillows, even kids' clothes, all profits, as I've said before, all profits from the Weird Darkness store that I receive are donated to organizations that help those who suffer from depression. So if you want to look at the merchandise, you can click on store at WeirdDarkness.com. This story comes from LJ. I worked the second shift, so I'd come home around 12:30 a.m. Being a father and husband, I'd always check around to make sure things were right and tight before going to bed. One Friday night, I was holding out the door when my wife, who was sleeping on the living room futon with our 5-year-old daughter, clutched to her neck suddenly, and he looked up at me and asked, "What you looking at?" I replied to her that I was just making sure things were okay. We live in a large... Holy cow! Wow! Dang, that was a big one. Okay. Scared the crud out of me. Okay.
Okay, round 2. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Strange creatures. Gruesome murders. Oozing organisms. Unfathomable abductions. Enigmatic expeditions. an age-old malevolence, and much more. Author J.C. Moore delivers a collection of dark horror tales that are both chilling and poignant. Dark Intrigues Book 1 is filled with horror fiction for fans of short story anthologies, horror collections, ghost fiction, suspense, possession, and more. Dark Intrigues Book 1 by J.C. Moore, available on Kindle or as an audiobook narrated by Darren Marlar. Find Dark Intrigues Book 1 on the audiobooks page at WeirdDarkness.com. That's WeirdDarkness.com/audiobooks.
They've all been distant thunder, now suddenly... Dang, okay. I know we're expecting... I'm not seeing much rain right now, though. We had some rain when we first started, but nothing's out there, but I'm still hearing the thunder rolls. Weird, okay. Anyway, screwed me up. Now I gotta get back where I was. What you looking at? I replied to her that I was just making sure things were okay. All right. We lived in a large one-bedroom side of a duplex home that I had purchased before I met my wife. It got a little crowded when my oldest daughter came to live with us after her mother, my first wife, said she needed a break and brought her in one day, but we made do. As I got in the futon, I glanced down the hallway and saw a flash of light as if someone had taken a photograph. I thought my oldest and her best friend, who we'll call Selena, who came to spend the night, maybe got out of bed and were playing around. I got up and went to see, but when I looked in the bedroom, both girls were sound asleep. I thought maybe it was my father, who lived in the other half of the duplex, but when I got to where I saw the flash happen, there was no one around. I just blew it off, thinking the end of the week fatigue was playing tricks on me, so I got into bed. Next morning, my wife asked me, "Why were you and Selena looking out the door last night?" I replied, "Selena, what are you talking about?" My wife then told me, when she saw me looking out the door, she saw Selena behind me, looking over my shoulder. I assured her Selena wasn't with me, and I told my wife she was probably tired and just thought she saw her behind me. We didn't really pay it no mind at the time. A few weeks later, Selena came over to spend the night again, and as usual, I came home at 12:30 and did my rounds before going to bed. As I crawled into the futon with my wife and youngest, I once again saw a flash of light. But this time, it was in our kitchen, only about 10 feet away from where I was, and where I know no one was at. I blew it off, thinking I should see an ophthalmologist soon. The next morning was a Saturday. I guess it was about 9 a.m. My oldest and her friend, Selena, went to the mall, because that's where young teens went back then. My wife was making breakfast while my youngest was watching her Saturday morning cartoons, so I thought I'd go watch TV in the girl's bedroom. I'd just gotten comfortable, laying down in the lower bunk of our daughter's bunk bed, when I heard movement on the top bunk. I look up to see an area under the top mattress come down, as if someone was sitting on it. I thought maybe my youngest had somehow climbed onto the top without me seeing or hearing her do this. Thinking I had a little wannabe ninja, I got up smiling, expecting to see my youngest daughter, only to view something I will never forget. I stood by the bunk bed, looking at the top mattress with an obvious depression in it, but no one was there. Completely mesmerized, I stood staring as it stayed like that for like 20 seconds until it came back up and leveled off. For some reason, the first thing that came out of my mouth was, "Oh, cool, do it again!" I didn't feel frightened. I didn't sense any malevolence nor benevolence. It was just weird. Selena had some life changes after this, so she never stayed over again. Nothing ever happened again, and she stopped coming over. I thought of that incident for some reason after years had passed. My oldest had gotten married and had a couple of kiddos when I told her about it and asked her if maybe Selena had a twin that may have passed at a very young age. My daughter just sighed and said, "Not that I know of, Dad, but that would have explained a lot." This one was sent to me by Terry Connor. It was July, 1984. I was driving from a friend's house around 1 a.m. My friend lived in the country, and I was the only car on the road at the time. For perspective, I live in a rural, small farm town of 2,000 people. Most friends live in the country, so it's not unusual to hang out and then leave late, driving the country line road to town, which I lived in. So I was driving. I could see red lights way in the distance by where I needed to turn to head home. I was probably a couple miles away, but I saw red, multi-flashing lights off to the side of the road. Actually, seemed in the bean field some. Well, I was headed straight to it and figured it was a bad wreck with fire and police on the site. This corner is notorious for accidents. So anyway, I'm getting closer and now I'm probably 1.25 miles away. Still very bright, flashing red lights off in the field. I slowly got to the corner where I needed to turn and didn't see any fire trucks or police. Nothing but something in the bean field. I was still the only car alone on this dark country road. So I just stopped on the road in the intersection and watched it in the field. I was actually in shock, I think because I didn't freak out yet and was more curious but in awe of the object in the field. In the field, only 20 or 30 yards from me was this craft or thing all lit up with multiple bright red flashing lights, all flashing crazy-like. The object was shaped very odd. To describe it, imagine a bowl. Imagine the bowl with tons of red flashing lights going crazy. But imagine two long arms jutting out from the top edge on both sides of the bowl. It kind of looked like a referee when raising his arms for a touchdown, but spread out wide. So these two arms also had red flashing lights, but only a single row growing up on either side. Or going up on either side, that is. Now imagine this bowl-shaped object with two arms and crazy flashing red lights going nuts. In between the arms was just black. The area above the top of the bowl and in between the arms. Jet black, nothing. So I'm sitting here at least 5 minutes. No movement other than flashing lights. No sound. It was a clear night, no rain or fog. I'm sitting here in my car, just perplexed. What the F is this? It's huge. I'd say guessing about the size of a rental truck. So I'm watching this thing, all lights still flashing red, the single row on the arms. The bowl was red and flashing. Suddenly, to my shock, two huge red lights just appeared in the jet black area between the two arms and right at the top of the bowl. They were super bright, solid red lights, both equally spaced, hovering in the middle while all the other lights keep flashing like crazy. So picture this bowl with two arms flashing with two huge red solid lights in the middle. Boom! They both start to slowly move up toward the top of the height of the arms. So I'm freaking out now. I watched in total panic and fear now of this thing having movement. No sound still. So when the two huge solid red lights got to the height even with the arms, the thing was absolutely insane. Multiple flashing red lights and solid red lights, and then everything just went black. All lights went out. Black as night. I was scared now even more because I didn't know if it was moving or what. So I did what any 24-year-old would do. I floored my 77 T-Bird with a 400 V8 to the floor. I flew home, probably 5 miles from this spot. I got home, woke up my brother, who was sharing an apartment with me at the time. I was literally shaking and I probably in shock. I told him what happened. He said, "Let's go back." I said, "No." But he said, "We gotta go right now." So now it's like 1:30 in the morning or so. We get in this car because I was too shook. We get into his car, that is, because I was too shook. Drive to the spot, no lights, nothing. I was glad, but my brother wasn't. So anyway, fast forward till the morning. I actually called the county sheriff's department to ask if they got any calls on strange lights or anything last night. They said no. Were there any wrecks in the area or fire trucks? Nope. So then my brother and I went to the area around noontime. The area where it was in the bean field. It's probably 2 feet high. We wanted to go into the field, but around here you never want to go in fields with crops until you ask the farmers. So we did just that. We went to the farmer's house, which was probably 1 8/10 of a mile away. I knocked on his door and an old codger opened it and just kind of looked at these two young city boys. I asked if it was okay if we walked the field. He asked why, and I told him about my encounter. He kind of laughed and said he'd seen strange lights in the same area before. Never had the nerve to check it out when they saw them. so I kind of felt like I wasn't crazy because he also saw strange lights. So anyway, we went to the area that I saw it. We walked the field for 15 minutes. No signs of bent or broken bean plants, no weird dead plants, nothing. So that was disappointing for sure. I hoped to prove that I wasn't crazy. So anyway, we left, and I never told this story to anyone but my wife for over 20 years. This story is true. I can see it now like it was last week. I wasn't drinking or high, just driving home and saw these lights. Wow. I don't know, I think that might be the first UFO or whatever you want to call that event, episode, encounter. I think that's the first one we've actually received from a Weirdo family member in the 5 years I've been doing this. I've had a lot of UFO stories, but I don't think any others have been sent to me specifically from listeners. So, hey, if you have a UFO thing, something that you've experienced, rather than just seeing something in the sky and wondering what it was, if it was something weird like that, tell me about it. I would love to tell the story. Okay, moving on. This one comes from Jonathan Wilcox. My wife and I were going from her hometown, Water Valley, to our home in Saltillo, Massachusetts. Or, I'm sorry, Mississippi. Saltillo, S-A-L-T-I-L-L-O. It's either Saltillo or Saltillo. I don't know if it's the Spanish pronunciation or not. Anyway, he continues on. It was dark and rainy, and I ran over something big in the road. I believe it was already dead, so I keep going. A few minutes later, or perhaps shorter, this was over 30 years ago, I saw on the left-hand side of the left-hand side of the road, a black panther's head staring at us as we went by. It was burnt into my brain. I saw it clearly. I asked my wife, "Did you see that?" Of course, she didn't. She never sees anything because she's always looking at her tablet or a phone. I said, "I saw Black Panther." I should have known, her reply. "Okay," I said. "No, truthfully, if we have a flat tire or a breakdown right now, it will be daylight before I get out of the car." I told people at work about this, and they all said that screams of panthers had been reported to game and wildlife people, and they were positive that there were no panthers in Mississippi. We'll look it up on YouTube. Well, look it up on YouTube. Big as you please, there it is in the area, or close to a Black Panther. Was I the first to see one in many a year? Not weird, but one of the scariest things I have seen, but I have seen more scary things than most people will ever see. This one came to us from Weirdo... Let me get a sip of my coffee here real quick before I continue on. My throat's dry. You'd think as humid as it is out here that I'd be all right, but no. Okay. All right, this one comes from Justin. Got a new job at a warehouse that supplies office supplies. So I've noticed there are ghostly presences there. Today marks the fourth time I've seen them, two times today. I drove a stock picker. It's a stand-up forklift of sorts, but you gotta get up with the forks instead of staying on the ground, and the forks only go up. As I was pulling stuff off one of the shelves, out of the corner of my eye, I see a Taylor Dunn. It's a stand-up golf cart type vehicle. Pull up behind me and looks to drive under me. I look over and it's gone. Nothing. It happened twice today in the same aisle, close to the same place, but either time it happened, I was facing a different way, so it wasn't light playing a trick on me. I seen somebody standing by a pallet, looked over at them, and they were gone. Seen another person walking out of an aisle and looked over at them and they were gone. I asked my supervisor if there were people that passed at work, and they said, "Yes," but wouldn't really go into details, but yes. They then proceeded to tell me we have another location down the street that's reported to have a little girl that you can hear crying over the intercom from time to time. It's pretty creepy. Megan sent in this next one. We got a bird out there somewhere. Got pretty close. Look at that. The bird felt like it was screaming in my left ear. I don't know if you heard it. All right, from Megan C. My family moved into an old, run-down house when I was about 10. The stairs led straight into my bedroom, which had a little hall that directly connected to my sister's bedroom. The whole second floor was basically an attic. My parents had spent about a year or so renovating various parts of the house, and I was always involved in the process, painting, mostly. I never felt particularly spooked in the house until one night when it was time to go to bed. The light switch was on at the bottom of the stairs, and for some reason, I didn't want to turn the corner and look into the darkness to turn on the light. That was odd for me, thinking back now. The dark never scared me. But for some reason, my heart raced and my hairs stood up. I basically cried to my mother, begging her to come turn on the lights so I could go up. She refused, and I fumbled with my hand around the corner trying to find the switch. Not being able to feel it, I took a breath and peeked. When I looked up, I saw a girl at the top of the stairs. She was looking into my room, her back facing me. She was all white. She had what looked like a long, old nightgown. She turned her head quickly to look at me and seemed just as shocked to see me as I was to see her, and ran out of sight in a flash. I slept with my lava lamp on all night and every night after that. I later wondered if this was an actual ghost girl who was confused after the renovations, or if my emotions and mental state were just wild due to my parents' recent separation. As scared and shocked as I was that night, the experience definitely sparked my interest in the paranormal as time went on, and I often wished I could have communicated with the girl. I wanted to comfort her. I didn't see her again, but she might have stuck around. One morning, my mom told me that she could hear my sister and I talking and laughing at all hours of the night. I insisted I slept like a log and had no idea what she was talking about. She joked that maybe we were both talking in our sleep to each other. Neither my sister nor myself have been known to talk in our sleep. We went to countless sleepover parties and sleepaway camps. No one ever mentioned that we talked in our sleep. I always wondered if it was actually the ghost girl. This one is another story from an anonymous Weirdo family member. I lived in a small town called Wauseon in the state of Ohio. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right. W-A-U-S-E-O-N. Wauseon in the state? Anyway, I'm going to go with Wauseon. Growing up in the early 1990s, you can best describe my little neighborhood to that of the Sandlot movie. Almost all my neighbors had kids around my age. They would all come over to my house after school and during summer break. I had the biggest yard, and we would play baseball, football, play on the tire swing my dad put up for us, etc. My house was also one of the oldest houses, a little north of 90 years old. It was huge, from the basement to our attic. It was 5 floors. The basement and second attic were super creepy, and I never went to either alone. However, this story is not about my home. It's about my childhood best friend's home. It was right next to mine. It was just as big and a little older. My friend Tim, I'll call him that, not to give any names away, would tell me crazy stories about things that happened in his house. He told me once that he saw someone lying on his couch. He thought it was his dad, and he went to shake him to get his attention, and when he turned around, it was not his dad, but a scary-looking thing with red eyes that started to chase him up the stairs and then just vanished. He and his little sister told me about a little girl who would come and play with them sometimes when they were alone in their room. There were quite a few stories like this. I remember once my friend's mom came to my house to talk to my mom. My mom told me to go to the other room. I did, but I could hear what they were saying from the other room. My family is a religious family, and they were not. My friend's mom told my mom about something that happened in their house a long time ago. I guess the owners of the house had a special needs daughter. They were ashamed of her or just didn't know how to take care of her, and they locked her down in the basement. Well, I don't remember everything, but I just remember thinking how bad she was treated. Well, my friend's mom said that things were happening in her house, and if we knew someone who could come and pray over the house. My mom called me over when she left and just told me not to go into their house anymore. The only thing up till that time that I ever noticed was that was creepy was their front porch swinging at night and occasionally sway back and forth. I always just assumed it was the wind, never thought much about it. Now to why I'm writing you. We were on summer break. I was about 7 years old. My mom and dad were both working. Being a kid and Tim being my best friend, I, of course, disobeyed my mom and went into their house. We were in Tim's room playing. All of a sudden, his little sister started to scream. We dashed out of the room to see what was happening. What I saw has changed my life forever. In the hallway, on the second floor, the wall was dripping blood. Immediately, we all ran out of the house. The cops came in. They thought maybe a dead animal got stuck behind the wall. The wall was knocked down, and there was nothing there. The wall and the carpet were replaced, but I never stepped into that house again. After that night, I would frequently sleep on my little sister's floor, or with the lights on in my room. Till this day, I'm now in my 30s and married. If I am alone at night or on a business trip, I sleep with a nightlight or some kind of light on. I've tried to tell some other people. Usually they look at me like I'm crazy. My in-laws told me that I was young. My in-laws told me I was young and probably just can't remember what really happened. I stopped telling people because I get the same reaction and I started to doubt myself. But listening to this podcast, I realized that sometimes strange things do happen that cannot be explained, and I had the misfortune to experience it. Freaky stuff, man. That was anonymous. I can understand why you'd be anonymous. That'd be a tough one to tell people. Whoever you are, though, my prayers are with you tonight. Wow. And I'm glad that you're no longer dealing with it. Hey, by the way, before I continue on, if you want to subscribe to the Weird Darkness newsletter, you could be my next winner in my monthly random drawing. Each month, one person wins a Weird Darkness prize pack, which includes an extra large Weird Darkness poster, a coffee mug, two magnets, and two stickers. And if you'd like to be registered to win, again, it's free, just sign up for the newsletter, which you can do at WeirdDarkness.com.
Strange creatures, gruesome murders, oozing organisms, unfathomable abductions, enigmatic expeditions, an age-old malevolence, and much more. Author J.C. Moore delivers a collection of dark horror tales that are both chilling and poignant. Dark Intrigues Book 1 is filled with horror fiction for fans of short story anthologies, horror collections, ghost fiction, suspense, possession, and more. Dark Intrigues Book 1 by J.C. Moore, available on Kindle or as an audiobook narrated by Darren Marlar. Find Dark Intrigues Book 1 on the audiobooks page at WeirdDarkness.com. That's WeirdDarkness.com/audiobooks.
This story came from Alex Sutcliffe. This particular incident happened when I was really young, maybe 4 or 5. However, I had a dream last night, June 4th, which was more of a flashback than anything else. My nan looked after me and my older sister a lot during school holidays as my parents worked full-time, and one of our favorite trips was out to the museum in Liverpool City Center. My favorite display was the dinosaurs, and I was obsessed with the Walking Dinosaurs series. Walking with Dinosaurs series. One day, on a trip to the museum, I noticed that the T-Rex wasn't alone in his display. Standing behind a plastic prehistoric palm tree was a figure. He was about the same height and shape of a fully grown man, but he had almost scale-like skin with black, glassy eyes. As soon as he saw me looking, he froze. I tugged at my nan's sleeve to get her to look, but she wasn't paying attention. She tried to get me to walk around the display to the mammoths on the other side, but I was frozen in fear and had to pretty much be dragged past while the creature didn't take his eyes off me. No one else seemed to notice this intruder. I've returned to the museum on previous occasions, but never saw the thing again. But I have since researched multiple times to see if it was some sort of exhibit or display, but there is no sign of it anywhere on the internet. Still freaks me out thinking about it, and I have never told anyone, but your podcast has inspired me to tell my story in case somebody else has had a similar experience. Thank you for the story, Alex. That reminds me, just when I was reading that, the Sleestak from the old TV show Land of the Lost, that's what that reminded me of. You talked about the guy with the scaly lizard skin and the black eyes. That sounds like a Sleestak. Now, of course, those were fictional characters in a kid's show, but still, that's what popped into my head. This one comes from Jeremy Briggs. Hi, Darren. Tonight I feel compelled to tell a bit of my history, and nobody still talking to me is awake at this time of night. Since I was very young, I was plagued with insomnia. More on that later, as I'm going to list my sightings as close to chronologically as possible. My first ghost sighting was sometime in the early 80s. I was still small enough to sleep in a crib. I woke one night to see a woman in a long white dress standing over me. My mother and both grandmothers never wore dresses, so I knew this was not any of them. I tried to do research on the property in later years to see if anyone ever passed away in the house, but turned up nothing, so I'll never know who or what she was. She didn't try to harm me, just stood over me, watching me. I saw her one more time before we moved out of that house. This time she was standing over the same crib that was now the bed of my younger brother. We moved out of the house soon after, and my parents divorced, so we moved from this tiny town in northern Missouri to a few other places. One note worth mentioning here, because I don't remember any events pertaining to this story. Then we moved to Florida, and the paranormal events kicked off again with fervor. The house we lived in had no fewer than three spirits in it. One was a child near my age. I never saw them, but I heard them often, as did my brother, sister, and mother. They were part of the beginning of my insomnia. They'd play in my bedroom at night, getting me into trouble, though I would be in bed. On the nights that they would not disturb the whole house, there was an old woman my five-year-old brain always thought was a witch. I could only see the outline of her, as it was always dark. She was very slender. I remember describing her as half the size of my mother when I said somebody had been watching me all night. I was told it was probably Mom checking on me, and she had very wild hair, probably the reason I thought she was a witch. I was visiting the neighbors one day, and on their wall was a photo of their grandmother, taken not long before she died from a heart attack brought on by anorexia, as she wanted to keep her girlish figure. She had the same wild hair. I soon found out she died not only in the house that we were living in, but also in my bedroom. I guess she wanted to ensure I did nothing wrong to her room. The third was a man. This one my mother also saw. I remember most days thinking I was seeing a reflection for the TV screen each time I would see him, as he always dressed like the title character of Gilligan's Island. Years later, I found out it was the spirit of another neighbor's father, and it was his favorite shirt. Even when Gilligan's Island was still in black and white, so nobody knew what color the shirt was that Bob Denver wore in the role. Midsummer in 1986, my father got custody of us, and we moved back to the small town in Missouri I was born in. In 1988, my father remarried, so we moved to a bigger house, a very old place dating back to the mid-1800s, during the days of slavery. I was always scared to go into the basement, and after a time, discovered the homeowner at the time of the Emancipation Proclamation kept both his slaves locked up down there, and they both starved to death. I'll never know if they were the reason that I would feel such fear every time I even opened the door to the basement. The house seemed to not be done collecting spirits yet. During the mid-90s, my older sister passed away, and I guess she moved back in after her passing, as we would often hear her laugh. And she would use both bathrooms and the kitchen sink on her birthday. Every year on her birthday, both toilets would flush simultaneously, and the kitchen sink would also start running. I believe she is still with me to this day, as also, like clockwork, on her birthday, whenever I'm there, there's a snowstorm. Early December, it's not uncommon for snow in Missouri, but when I lived in Phoenix, Arizona for a time, the same thing happened. While I was in the Marine Corps and stationed in North Carolina, the snow still fell. It happens to this day. The snow may not stick, but there are at least flurries every year on her birthday wherever I am. My childhood home was condemned while I was in the service, so my father moved into a house he'd purchased for my grandmother before she passed away. While I was on leave, I stayed in that house. Yes, Grandma did pass on there, though she didn't go far. One night, I remember getting into a playful argument with my niece. She wanted me to use her extra comforter that she didn't like to do, like because of the color. It was too girly for her. Well, after 6 months in Iraq, I didn't need a blanket, as I didn't want to be very warm then. Well, my niece and I fell asleep together watching TV, my arms around her, so I know she didn't get up to get the blanket. My stepmother fell asleep before we did, and as I was up well before my stepmother, so I know she didn't cover us. When I woke up, my niece and I were both covered with the blanket neither of us wanted to be covered with. I believe Grandma was watching us. Time went on, and I don't remember much for a few years. After getting discharged from the Corps, my then wife and I bought a home. She got it in the divorce, right across the street from where I grew up. I lost count of the episodes in that place. Two stick out of my mind, though. One was the night of the baby. I awoke to what I first thought was my infant son crying. I leapt up and ran to his bedroom. When I got to his room, I heard the crying coming from the master bedroom. I went back to the master bedroom, as it was big enough and shared a wall with the baby's room, so maybe he had snuck in there. When I returned to the big bedroom, I then hear the crying coming from down the hall again. But this time I'm fully awake, and remember, my children were spending the weekend with my mother, not even in the house. Yet the crying continued. A few weeks later, kids at the grandparents again, I was laying in bed alone as my wife worked overnight that night. Only my German Shepherd was with me. When I heard the crash of the back door seemingly smashed open, I tried to call the police, and I was moving to my gun safe for my shotgun. I hear heavy footfalls through the kitchen, the dining room, the library, the foyer starting up the stairs. I'm a big guy, around 5'10", 250 pounds. No way can anyone get past me on the staircase, and my dog was next to me. Nobody was getting past us. The footfalls go on up the stairs and past me and down the hallway clear to the end of the hall. I don't know who or what that was. The house I'm living in now seems restful for now, but if anything further happens, I'll report to Weird Darkness on that too. This one comes from Guillermo M. I've shared a couple of true personal paranormal stories involving my wife and daughter. This story involves my mother-in-law and her father-in-law, whom is my wife's grandpa. This story was shared to me by my wife's parents, whom are people that would not joke around about paranormal situations nor make up stories of any kind. The story came up as a result of barbecue conversations, which led to personal paranormal experiences. My mother-in-law shared her story when she was pregnant with my wife. At the time, she lived in the 60s in Sinaloa, Mexico. I do not speak Spanish. I'm sorry, folks. At the time, she lived in the 60s in Sinaloa, Mexico, at the family farm of her husband. My father-in-law worked as a truck driver and was away on the road working. The farm was quite humble and did not have much commodities to it. In fact, the room where she was staying at did not have a door. It only had a curtain to keep out the cold of the night and bugs. She said she slept on a cot since they did not have a spare bed for her. My father-in-law shared with me that his father had worked in the United States for a few years in his youth. While in California, he met someone that practiced witchcraft. This person took him under his wing and taught him the craft. So when he returned to his province, he could use what he learned. Sometimes he'd use his spells for fun, as in making people urinate on themselves in public, to more serious and creepy things, such as making dead cattle appear to come back to life. Forward back to the 60s, the room where my mother-in-law stayed at was the room where her father-in-law stayed in. He had passed by then. In the room, there was this cowboy hat he wore all the time, hung on one of the walls. My mother-in-law was reading her Bible one night when she started to hear and see a moment with the cowboy hat. What happened next, she says, brings chills to her every time she talks about it. Out of the hat, she saw the head of an animal rise, not crawl, but rise, as if levitating from within the middle of its body. She described the creature as a larger-than-average gopher, staring at her with a cold glare and displaying its large teeth, almost as if the creature was smiling in a mocking way. She described the room atmosphere change from calm to bone-chilling. If that was not enough, soon after the creature appeared, a second, smaller, gopher-like creature appeared. It levitated right in front of the first and larger one. As soon as it appeared, the larger creature started to strangle the smaller creature. My mother-in-law said that she could see the smaller creature look like losing consciousness while the larger creature kept on staring with a human-like stare at her and appearing to smile at her. What she described as an eternity, she was able to move and ran out of the room. She called for her in-laws, screaming for help. After she told them what she saw, her mother-in-law reassured her that she probably had a nightmare. However, she is 100% sure she was not, and having grown in the province, she knows what a gopher, squirrels, and similar critters look like and how they behave. The creatures she saw were normal animals. She also said upon examining her room, the family found the cowboy hat in its place without any disruptions. The next morning, some family members appeared to be wanting to tell her something, but her mother-in-law kept on telling them to be quiet. Later in time is when she found out that her husband's father was a warlock whom had wanted to pass on a special crystal he used in his magic to her husband. My father-in-law said he respectfully declined to inherit the crystal. To his knowledge, both the crystal and his hat are buried somewhere within the farm property in Sinaloa. I've got one more story that I'm going to share with you. It's not too awful long, but it's kind of long. But anyway, before I do that, I wanted to let you know that Weird Darkness is now a radio show and a podcast. So, in fact, you should be able to hear the radio show tonight. I'm recording this Friday, April 9th. You should be able to hear it tonight, 11 p.m. Central Time. And then the second hour of the Weird Darkness radio show will be tomorrow night, Saturday, April 10th, again at 11 p.m. Central Time. You can hear them on the Dark Matter Digital Network, which you can go to darkmatter.radio, and you should be able to hear it there. That's darkmatter.radio. You can also ask your smart home device to play Dark Matter Radio. That should work for you as well. But hopefully you'll tune in tonight. Okay, last story. This one comes from Chris. Hello, Darren. I had this crazy thing that happened to me and has been happening for the past 5 years. I know you don't typically read stories like these on your podcast, but I think it'd be amazing if you could read this one. The events are true of what happened, but I've changed some of the names to keep it private. I apologize if it's long, but here's my story about my crazy neighbor. The house I'm in now, I've lived in for about 5 years. I own 2 acres, and my property is fully gated with remote-controlled fences that stay closed 90% of the time. That's important for later. The owner of the house next to mine used to own my house. They sold it to someone, and that person sold it to me. That being said, it's one of our first weeks at the house. It's me, my partner, let's call him C. Me and C are just sitting at the house relaxing. We're both chefs and own a restaurant. Anyway, it's our day off, and we're just in the kitchen talking when we hear a noise outside. We just got home from running around We haven't shut the gate yet. I walk out to see what the noise is, and I see my neighbor. Let's call her P. I see P pulling on my gate, trying to close it. My gate runs on an electrical piston that opens and closes it, so you can't pull it open or close it by hand. P is pulling as hard as she can, trying to close my gate. I walk out and call, "Can I help you?" P looks at me with these crazy eyes and starts to yell, "This is my house! This is my property! You are trespassing! Get out of my house!" Well, I'm kind of upset she's yelling at me, but more kind of freaked out at the way she's acting. I call back to her, "This is my house. I need you to leave before I call the police." She just acts like she didn't hear me and continues to pull at the gate. I call the police and tell them what's going on. They tell me they'll send somebody out as soon as they can. Not 5 minutes after I hung up with the police, I see another lady coming down the street from my house. She goes and grabs P and walks her back to her house. A few minutes later, I see the other lady coming back. She's much older than P, and she seems a little more put together. I walk out, and she begins to apologize greatly for P's actions. She tells me that she and her grandparents used to own that land, and that P has a mental disability, but refused to say which. But apparently, when she forgets to take her meds, she thinks that they still own that house. I tell her it's okay, please keep an eye on her. She agrees and then leaves. When the police do show up, I go ahead and make a formal report, just to have it on record. A few years go by. Nothing really happens, aside from the ambulance being called to P's house at least once every 2 weeks. And then one day, about 4 years into living there, I noticed that P's yard is really overgrown. That's not normal for her. On top of that, the older lady, who is usually outside tending to her yard, has not been seen for a few months. I start to get worried that something has happened, so I call for a wellness check. The next day, they tell me everything's fine, the older lady is just staying somewhere else right now. Then around Christmas time, I get a letter in the mail from P. The context of the letter was hard to read. It looked like a five-year-old was trying to write a paper on a roller coaster. But what I was able to read was something about loving the products of a certain brand and using them to get rid of little white spiders that come out of her skin. I keep the letters, but I don't really show anyone because it seemed harmless to me. A few months later, I'm sitting in the garage and I hear someone blowing their horn outside. Not just like a beep to say that I'm here, but full on holding down the horn. I step out of my garage and I see P sitting in my driveway with her car blowing the horn. I lift my hands as if to signal, "Can I help you?" She steps out and calls to me, "Do y'all need anyone to come and clean that house?" Super confused, I just tell her, "No thanks," and she nods and drives off. I just return to my garage, kind of confused. The next day, P walks up to me while I'm getting my mail and says, "I just want to welcome you to the neighborhood," and then leaves. Remember, I had been here almost 5 years now and had a few run-ins with her. After this, a few months go by and nothing. Then me and C pull up to the house one day after work and there's a white bag in my yard. It's in a place where my three dogs can't get to it due to their invisible fence. I go and check out what it is and it's a bag full of laundry pods, unused. I brush it off, thinking nothing of it. A few days later, I'm at work and C stayed home. He's there by himself. At around 9 a.m., he calls me and kind of sounds worried. He says, "Hey, someone rang the doorbell, and by the time I got to the door, no one was there, and then 5 minutes later, the same thing. The doorbell rings. I don't go to the door for a few minutes, and when I do, no one's there." I tell him, "Go walk around the property and make sure no one is on it and everything's okay." He says he will, but he's home alone and kind of worried. What makes this even more worrisome is a few things. One, our gate was shut, so someone would have had to jump the fence, and our two dogs bark at everything they see. They still bark at me when I get home from work, and he said that he didn't hear them. When I got home later that day, I noticed that my mailbox, which is the kind with a lockbox on the bottom that was tampered with, it looked like somebody tried to get in it. After calling the police and telling them what had happened, they said that they would send somebody out. While I waited, I decided to check my camera footage to see if I caught the person on tape. And I did. And it was none other than my neighbor, P. She pulls into my driveway, parks, gets out, steps over my fence, walks up to the door and rings the bell. Now, this might not be scary to some, but if you could see the look on her face, or rather her lack of emotion, it looked like she was not even in her body. She passed by my dogs, totally unfazed by them. After waiting around for 10 seconds, she walks back to her car and leaves. 5 minutes later, she pulls back up and does the same thing. But this time, she is out of frame for about 20 seconds. I'm not sure what she did in that time. After no word from the police, I call again the next day, and the next day, and the next, till after 3 days, they finally show up. I explain the footage and what happened, and they said they'll go talk to her. When they returned, they informed me that she admitted to being a paranoid schizophrenic and that she often doesn't take her meds. She had no recollection of being on my property, and since they did not show up and find her on my property, there was nothing they could do. Nothing else has happened, but I continue to watch the cameras. Not paranormal, but definitely weird and dark. That qualifies, all right, Chris? That definitely qualifies as a story. Thank you for sending it. And thank you to all of you who are for listening to this episode, this Fireside Frights episode of Weird Darkness. If you like the show, please share it with somebody you know who loves the paranormal or strange stories, true crime, monsters, or unsolved mysteries like you do. You can email me anytime with your questions or comments at Darren@WeirdDarkness.com. Darren is D-A-R-R-E-N. And you can find me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Minds, MeWe, and more, along with the show's Facebook group on the Contact Social page at WeirdDarkness.com. Weird Darkness is now, as I mentioned earlier, a radio show. You can find out where online you can listen to the show as it airs by visiting the calendar page at WeirdDarkness.com. But like I said, tonight and tomorrow night, Friday, April 9th, Saturday, April 10th, 11 p.m. Central Time, the show will be playing on the Dark Matter Digital Network. Every time I say dark, I want to say Weird Darkness, and it doesn't work for this. But you can, Dark Matter Digital, just go to darkmatter.radio, you'll be able to find it there. It's probably a lot easier for you. Again, that's darkmatter.radio. And the show also airs Saturdays on Calypso Gold Radio, which is at 4 p.m. Central Time, again on Saturdays. So, and we've got more networks that we're going to be adding later on. So we're actually doing pretty well with the syndicated radio show. So thanks to everybody who has been supporting that. And if you have a radio station near you that's not airing it, which they all are not yet, but hopefully they will, maybe you can drop them an email and say, hey, you ought to check out this show and add it to your schedule. All stories in Weird Darkness are purported to be true unless stated otherwise. You can find source links or links to the authors in the show notes. Weird Darkness is a production of Marler House Productions. Copyright Weird Darkness 2021. And now that we're coming out of the dark, I'll leave you with a little light. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 14. Do everything in love. And a final thought from Martin Luther King Jr. Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. I'm Darren Marlar. Thanks for joining me for this Fireside Frights episode of Weird Darkness.
Strange creatures, gruesome murders, oozing organisms, unfathomable abductions, enigmatic expeditions, an age-old malevolence, and much more. Author J.C. Moore delivers a collection of dark horror tales that are both chilling and poignant. Dark Intrigues Book 1 is filled with horror fiction for fans of short story anthologies, horror collections, ghost fiction, suspense, possession, and more. Dark Intrigues Book 1 by J.C. Moore. Available on Kindle or as an audiobook narrated by Darren Marlar. Find Dark Intrigues Book 1 on the audiobooks page at WeirdDarkness.com. That's WeirdDarkness.com/audiobooks.